excited to be in the church this morning. Rise up to your feet as we give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords his praise this morning. Hallelujah.
You see, you fly. You see, if I, all of trust in you. Bless all our kids. Come forward for their prayer before they go to their classes. And this is the first Sunday in the month of February. And it is the first day of the month. We thank God for this double blessing that we can be in His presence. Pastor Paul and Pastor Pat will be laying hands on the children and all the people that need prayer. You can join the line as we continue in prayer. Thank you, worship team. Father, we want to thank you for you, our God. We trust in you for our sustenance, and we know with you we were able to scale through the first month of this year. And your grace and mercy has preserved us to see the second month of the year. We thank you for marvelous love that you have shown unto us. Thank you for divine provision. And thank you for divine health that we have received. We thank you for favor for every one of us, especially all our kids. Lord, you preserve them even while they are going and they are coming. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom you are giving unto them. Lord, we commit them unto your hands. We ask for the spirit of excellence to come upon them as they continue in this new month, that your presence, O God, will go before them. We preserve them. We keep them from all evils, that none of them, O God, we will never weep over any one of them. They will not fall sick, O God. By your divine protection, day and night, your angel will guide them and keep them from all evils. Father, we thank you for all their parents. Thank you, O God, for sparing our life and for making us to see this day. Father, we ask, O God, that you continue even to be with every family of this church, far and near. Wherever they are watching, Lord, we pray that your grace will sustain us this month. And your hands will lift us up in all our endeavor. As they continue in their study in different classes, we ask that your spirit will teach them, you will empower them, wisdom will be given unto their teacher, and they will be able to teach them aright. And what they are taught, O God, you will give them the grace and the power to do according to it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. See you later. Let's have our seat. Before we continue in the prayer section, I want to read a passage of the Bible from Gospel according to St. Mark. I will read from verse 34 to 41. Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6, verse 34 to 41. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give to them?" That's verse 37 in another New Living Translation. He said, Jesus said, "You feed them." And the disciples said, "With what?" They asked, "We have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. That was New Living Translation. They have to work for months. Verse 38. He said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they saw 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by company upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the 2 loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided be among them all. Here is our Lord Jesus Christ while he was on earth. People came unto him to hear the word of God. He saw them. He said, they are like sheep scattered without a shepherd. And after the program, Jesus have compassion on them. I don't want to send these people away because they will faint on the way. And the disciples said, there's nothing we can give them. Jesus said, you have something. Give them what you have. He said, okay, what we have is just little things. But if we want to give these people what will satisfy them, he said, we have to work for months to satisfy them. In verse 41, which I want us to use to pray, and when they had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven. There's a problem that needs to be solved. The disciple cannot solve it with their mind. They said it will take them months for them to bring solution. Likewise, we may be facing many things and we don't know way out. But Jesus Christ did something. He looked up to heaven. That is where our solution will come from. If you look at the rain comes from heaven. Our snow comes from heaven. The sunlight comes from heaven. Everything that we need comes from heaven. But by the time we look down, we will see frustration. We will see rejection. We will see pain. But the moment we can look up to heaven, then solution will come. Jesus looked up to heaven and he found solution. Like the scientists, you know, when they want to diagnose something, they will look into their microscope to see which bacteria or virus or thing that is causing the problem. Likewise, when Jesus looked to heaven, he's bringing diagnosis of what is the solution to this problem. The moment he received the solution, then he said, okay, let them sit down. And everybody was fed. That is why the psalmist in Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hill. From where cometh my help come from the Lord. If we need help from the Lord, we need to look up. It is God who can give us the help. When we find pains in our body, the somebody who can remove the pain is from the heaven. Because he said, by his stripe we are healed. It means the stripe of Jesus Christ can bring healings that we need to our body. If there is any habit that has caged us, that we are struggling, he doesn't say we should struggle for months. He said, look up to heaven and solution will come. When there is no hope, like Abraham, in that Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to 17, there is no hope. Lot has just departed from him and he was looking sideways. But God said, no, just look up. Look up. This land that you see, I will give it unto you. The moment Abraham looked up, the hope arose in him. No matter the situation we may find ourselves, let us look up to God. And as we are looking up to God, God will bring solution to our problem. We are continuing in our prayer time. Shall we close our eyes? If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit down, you can sit down. Father, we want to thank you because, like that song said, in you we trust, we live and have our being. We trusted in you for this new month and for the remaining months of this year, that you are able to do all things abundantly, more than we can think or we do. Father, we are looking unto you as a son look unto his father and as a daughter unto our mother. We are looking unto you for mercy. We are looking unto you for favor. We are looking unto you for healing. We are looking unto you to deliver us, O God, from any addiction or any bad habit. We are looking unto you to give us hope where there's no hope. We are looking unto you to sustain us in this wicked world. Father, we are asking, O God, as we look unto you, like the Israelites, they look unto you, you said they were not ashamed. I pray, O God, this month we shall never be ashamed in the name of Jesus. In everything we will lay our hands upon this month, we shall prosper. I pray, O God, by the mercy of God, God will keep us spirit, soul, and body safe from every evil that will happen this month in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are asking. We are in your presence today. And we have one desire or the other in our heart. The one we cannot share even with our friends, with our colleagues, with somebody that is sitting beside us. But you know our request. You know the thought of our heart. And we present our thought unto you, O God. You are the one who has the solution to all these things. Father, we are praying, O God, that you will meet every one of us at the point of our needs. That as we have come today, O God, we shall never go empty-handed in the name of Jesus. To you that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. We ask, O God, for mercy and favor that will continue to go with us this week, this month, this year. That where there is no way, you, the way we go, have make a way for us. Where the people said it is impossible, you will make impossibility possible for us, O God. We thank you because it is done. Father, we pray for the nation of Canada. We pray for the Israel. We pray even for Nigeria. We pray for Jamaica. We pray for the First Nation. We ask that your mercy, your grace, will continue to sustain this nation. We pray for all the nations of the world where your name is being called, that you will be their God, that Satan will not have his way in all this nation. Father, we are praying for all the professionals among us, O God. We ask, O God, that you will give them grace and wisdom, favor in their profession. Lord, all the businessmen and women among us, O God, you will expand their business. They will prosper in their business. Lord, we pray for the career men and women among us, O God. You will give them the necessary skill to excel. Spirit of excellency will come upon them, O Lord. We are praying for every family member represented here today. We pray, O God, the blessing of the first month, of the first day of the month, you give unto us in the name of Jesus. We pray for people that are celebrating their birthday, their marriage ceremony, and celebrating one good thing or the other. We pray that your blessing, O God, will continue to be in their life. Your blessing, O God, will continue to feed their life, O God. We pray for Sandhead. We pray for divine health. We pray for grace, and we pray for your blessing upon every one of us, O God. As we continue in this service, O God, we ask the word that we will hear will benefit us, will profit us, will give life unto us, and the word will make us strong and uphold us to the end. We lift up our daddy, Apostle Mike Efesino, and Pastor Maria into your hands. Father, we pray, O God, the ministration they have done, you will water it and bring increase in the name of Jesus Christ. Those people that they have gone to, that ministration will be a glorious blessing to their life. And as they will be coming back, O God, very soon, we pray, O God, that you will give them journey mercy, both on the land and in the air. For we thank you, it is done. Let your favor go with us this week. Let your mercy go with us this week. Let your goodness go with us this week. And we shall continue to rejoice in your name. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Can the thorn-infested soil be changed? Can the rocky soil be changed? Can the pathway be changed? All of those soils can be changed. And what God is saying to you and I is, just like the cattle go, His blessings flow far as the curse is far. That we do not just think about me, myself, and I, and how I'm going to be blessed, but I must think, I have to carry this chain. Pass me to other soils so that everyone participates in the blessing. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Come to receive your life, your fullness. We come to be transformed. We come to be renewed. We come, Lord, to be forever changed. In honor of your name, that we may represent you well as a people plucked out of the fire. A people chosen, a people marked by the name of the Most High. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful privilege to say that you are Lord. You have full ownership of our lives. And you're making something extraordinary out of ordinary people, transforming us and making us flames of your fire, the fire of God. Thank you, Lord, that it is well with our souls. We've been perfectly engineered by the mind that's above all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for making us weapons in your hands. Thank you, Father, that you're making us, O God, representatives of your word. And your word is a hammer. It is smashing through every obstacle, smashing through every resistance. Oh, we give you praise. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. The God we serve is an awesome God and is worthy of our praise, of our worship, of our adoration. In the 23rd Psalm and the 5th verse, the Word of God says, He, meaning God, has anointed me with his oil, my cup runneth over. That's an extraordinary statement. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. But preceding that statement is this statement: Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Colon. And generally, when we see that colon there, it means grammatically that the statement following is explaining, enhancing the statement previous. So when it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, colon, thou anointest my head with oil, then it means that the anointing of God, that anointing of God, is the anointing that causes you to be able to face up with your enemies and be at peace. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence. So with the anointing, it doesn't matter whether the enemy is present or not. Praise the Lord. Are you getting that? Do you get it? If you got it, wave at me. I want to be sure. Okay, I'll say it again. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So the enemy is there. But if that the anointing with oil is referencing the preparation of the table before me, then it means that when you have the anointing, it doesn't matter that there's an enemy or not. Now, do you get it? So my quest is not, how am I going to face the enemy? Because it doesn't matter what enemy shows up or doesn't show up when I'm anointed. The Word of God says he's anointed me with oil, with joy, the oil of joy. And because of that oil of joy, I'm above. I operate in another dimension. When we have that anointing, the Word of God continues, says, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over has to do with an abundance, with an overflow. So the anointing of God on my life brings about an overflow, not sufficiency, overabundance. Now, overflow can be messy when overflow is in the wrong setting. But God is saying, I want to so bless you that there is an overflow. Amen? So much overflow that my goodness and my mercies are following you everywhere you go. So the anointing releases the overflow, and part of the overflow is the manifestation of surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? I'm anointed. Do you understand? I am anointed, And because I'm anointed, I attract overflow. Because I am anointed, goodness and mercy follow me every day of my life. Because I'm anointed, I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The anointing causes you to have the capacity to abide. Is somebody listening? The anointing causes you to abide. If you are flaky, it's because you're not anointed. Some people are nut jobs. You know, granola bar, nut jobs. Huh? That's not you when you're anointed. And you are not concerned about enemies because you are anointed. He anoints your head with oil, your cup runneth over. And he does that because he's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God does not need to drive away enemies to anoint you. He anoints you in spite of them, because while he anoints you, they become meat for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, I must have the anointing. Say it again. I must have the anointing. Today, Lord, anoint me. 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 Lord, anoint me. If you do not know the purpose of a thing, you don't desire it. I said this morning, tonight is going to be an anointing service. Did I announce it or not?
Yes.
But those that don't understand are not here. Those that understand or want to understand showed up. And I'm saying to you, number one, get this. When you're anointed, it doesn't matter whether there's an enemy or no enemies. You are not concerned about them. They need to be concerned about you. Hallelujah. The devil needs to be concerned about you. Glory be to God. He needs to be petrified about you. Hallelujah. I said the devil needs to be petrified. He needs to be afraid and be very, very afraid. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because the glory of God is upon your life. The anointing. Some said the anointing. I must have the anointing. Glory be to God. He anoints my head with oil. My cup run it over. Just a second. There is abundance when the anointing is present. Glory be to God. There will be abundance of every good thing in my life. Because God does not just give me droplets. He pours it on. Overflow. And then it says, because of that anointing, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me. Not some of the time, all the days of my life. And I will dwell, I will abide in the house of the Lord. The word of God says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall be fat and flourishing in his courts. They that are what? Planted. Planted. Somebody say, I am planted in the house of the Lord. Glory be to God. Your capacity to abide is because of the anointing.
And when you have this anointing that causes you to be planted, you come to the place of awareness that Psalm 24 points to. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You have a different perspective. The earth is the Lord. It does not belong to the devil. How do you come to that awareness? You have received an anointing. That's how you come to that awareness. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein, they are all God's. And therefore they will align and not disturb me by not granting to me what belongs to me, which is God's goodness and God's mercy. Because I am anointed and this whole world belongs to the Lord, every enemy becomes subject to me because God has prepared a table for me. In their presence, I will be blessed in your presence. You cannot say you will not go anywhere, you will not succeed in life. I am the manager here. I'm going to block you. You're not going to have a promotion. You are not going to have an increase. You're not going to have a bonus. You're not going to have this contract. Who born monkey? Who are you? I am the anointed of God, and God says, all of this belongs to him. I belong to him. And God says, in your face, I get blessed. If you don't give me what is due me, you are removed. Can you be so bold when you know who you are? And the manager is saying, I'm not going to say, tell you what, you are fired. See, who are you talking to? You know who you're talking to? I said, I'm talking to you. You are fired. I'm your boss. No. You got it mistaken. He is my boss, and you are here to help me, promote me, help me get to where I need to get to. But if you are in my way, you are toast. But do you understand what I'm talking about? You carry yourself differently. But if you're not anointed and you say you are fired to your manager, guess who's getting fired? You. They will show you the door and say, "This, get everything on your table. Security, walk him out." But when you are anointed, there is a grace, there is a glory on your life that gives you the impetus to say what you need to say, because you know that nobody has that power over you but God, who has anointed you and says, I'm your good shepherd, you're not going to lack anything. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear any evil, because the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. I believe that God is going to raise men and women in this last of the last days that know who they are, and that the devil is the one who's going to be afraid, not us. Glory be to God. Not you. You're not called to be afraid. They should be afraid of. We had a prime minister here that wanted to terrorize us as a church. I sent him a letter. You don't change. You're going to be fired twice in one day. He did not listen, because he was riding high in the polls. And a week or two before the elections, the scandal hit and it dropped in the polls, and the Conservative Party came into power. And he, on the day he lost, said with his own mouth, I am no longer going to be the head of my party. I said, there you go, hooray. Once fired by the country, and you with your own mouth fired yourself the second time. I told you, you're going to be fired twice in one day. How dare you tell me what I'm going to preach? Any prime minister, any government that tries to tell me what I'm going to preach, they will find out that there is a God in heaven and that you don't mess with anointed men and women of God. We're not called to be afraid of anybody. You're going to tell me what I'm going to preach. Excuse me? Not when the anointing of God is upon our heads. God, the God we serve, is not a weakling. He's sovereign. Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, says something remarkable about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells us that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So we have the anointing of oil, but here it talks about the anointing with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Who went about doing good. Why is he going about doing good? Because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The goodness is not just for me. The mercy is not just for me. It is the grace upon my life to bring goodness into the lives of people and bring the mercy of healing unto those that have been oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Say, for God was with him. One more time, for God was with him. Again, for God was with him. God was with him. That's why God anointed him. So the anointing is God with you. Come on, somebody help me here. The anointing is God with you. Somebody say, God is with me. But remember this statement we tapped into just before the Christmas. It said, before God is with you, Emmanuel, God with us, he has to be God in you. Before God was with, he was in Mary. So God has to be in me to be with me. Hallelujah. Now, how is God in me? The Word of God tells us that when we walk in love with each other and we love God and walk in obedience to his directives, that he will come and make his abode with us. That's him being in us. My obedience to the directives of God. God gives me an instruction and I follow through with that instruction. I follow the directives of God because he is my good shepherd. He's shepherding my life. He's caring for me. He's directing my path. Because I acknowledge him in all of my ways, he will direct my path. Are you hearing the word of God? Jesus, anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He healed all that were oppressed. And tonight, I believe that God will heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. And not only is God going to heal you as one that has been oppressed of the devil, but also will use you to be one who brings that freedom to other people. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 61, and verse 1.
Isaiah 61 and verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me. So the anointing is for something. He anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. The anointing was given because God is with. The anointing is given to bring deliverance to the captives. The anointing is here declared so that we can bring forth good news. Verse 1 again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach. Let's think about that for a moment. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord had anointed me, marked me out, ordained me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Not the proud, the meek. The meek are those that are willing to hear the word of God and come in submission under his lordship. He's anointed me to preach good news to the meek. But watch this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because, for, we can switch those two words, because or for, yes? The Lord hath anointed me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, what does that mean? It means that God has assigned you to do something, to accomplish something, and because he has assigned you to do something, he comes upon you so that you can keep on doing it. Are we together? God has called you to do something, so he anoints you to be able to fulfill. So the anointing is there to make sure that you never fail. Say, Lord, anoint me. I need this anointing, the anointing that will cause me never to fail, because the anointing is there to fight for me. The anointing is there to empower me. The anointing is there to equip me. The anointing is there to give me direction. The anointing is there to break strongholds and to bring about perfect results at the end. That's why the anointing. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth. I'm anointing you so you can do everything I have called you to do. So the language of I couldn't do it because is redundant. That's not a true statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm anointed to complete everything I start. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God doesn't take me halfway to drop me. If I'm losing steam, I must cry out, God, you promise me that you will never leave me nor forsake me. You are God with me. The anointing to fulfill this mandate must abide with me. If there's any way or shape where I am leaking out, Lord, seal every hole. I cannot leak. Hallelujah. You know what? The overflow of God takes care of the leaks. You know, you can be leaking and he's still filling you up. That's if you continue to do what he's called you to do. But if you quit and you are not in service, you drain out. I pray that you're hearing what I'm saying to you tonight. He had sent me, I am sent, to bind up the brokenhearted. And basically what God is saying to us is that there are people who are brokenhearted, and he's sent to bind up those brokenhearted people, bind up those hearts, mend it. He says to proclaim liberty to the captives. Proclaim liberty to the captives. What is that? It is to say to the person that is bound, you are free. On the basis of what? On the basis of God, on the basis of the fact that I am anointed to declare your freedom. Two, that God is here with me. Three, that he has declared that your prison doors are now wide open, now come out. Hallelujah. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What is that? That is you proclaiming what God said you can do. You've been authorized, I've been authorized to declare to people, you are free. On the basis of what? The truth of God. Now, having declared the truth of God to you, you need to hold on to that truth and continue in that truth. Well, right now, I am the agent that God has sent your way. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his very first declared message in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, comes and he declares Isaiah 61. The Bible says he was handed the scroll and he found the place. It means he looked for it. He opened up to that particular passage in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Isaiah used the word meek. And here he expands that statement and says, the poor. Who is this poor? This word for poor here is not the kind of poverty where you have something, but you don't have enough. This word here is the kind of poverty where you are totally destitute. You have no capacity to come out. You're destitute in your mind, you're destitute financially, your background, everything. There's no chance. This is coming to the person that is, a drug head. He's totally drugged up and his brain is fried. And you come to this person and you say, hey, I bring you good news. You're free. In what world? But that's what he's talking about. To preach the gospel to the poor. This person has no capacity. I've come to preach this good news to you. That freedom is available. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Remember what he said in Isaiah, to preach deliverance to those that are in prison. And what can we pull out from that statement in Isaiah in reference to this particular statement here, and recovering of sight to the blind? What is pointing out to is that people are imprisoned by what they do not see. Your freedom is in your sight. I sent out a New Year greeting. Do you have it? If you have it, just play it for me, if you have it. And this greeting talks about the fact that it is a new season. It's a new season. And yeah, there it is. Blessed New Year to you. Blessed New Year to you. It's a new season in your life. Celebrations are in store for you. And then the statement, see it. If you don't see it, you don't get that celebration. You're blind. The anointing comes to destroy that blindness, because your blindness keeps you captive. Your blindness keeps you in prison. And the anointing comes there to shatter that stronghold, so that that anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Tonight, as we lay hands on you, by the Spirit of the living God, I believe that bondages are going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27 makes this remarkable statement. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. He says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed." Why? Because of the anointing. The yoke of bondage, the yoke of limitation, the yoke of control will be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing comes and shatters whatever it is that is limiting you, whatever it is that is controlling you, that is making you act in a particular way, go in a particular way. The anointing comes and it breaks. And not just breaks it, it destroys. In essence, destroys it so that it cannot be put together again. Hallelujah. Somebody say, "I need the anointing of the Lord." Father, anoint me with a yoke-destroying anointing. Let the yoke of the enemy, the burdens of the enemy, be removed from my shoulder. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, he says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen? But notice the first statement. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." The power of governance shall be upon his shoulder. And then he says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be" what? "No end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it had lighted upon Israel. He sent a word, and that word lighted upon Israel. It landed on him. God is speaking a word, and whatever it is that is spoken over our Lord is spoken over us. It's landing on us. For we are his shoulder. He is the head, and we are the what? The body.
Where does the shoulder belong? On the body. Yes? So if the government's upon his shoulder, then the government is upon his body, and that body is you and I, we're the church. Hallelujah. So God governs by his church, and if that is the case, then his anointing has to be upon us. How does it happen? Because we operate in the spirit of unity. Glory be to God. If we are going to experience this anointing, it happens because we are operating from the spirit of unity. We're oneness with God and oneness with each other. Psalm 133 puts it this way. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment or anointing upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Anointed and it runs down. And down. And watch this. That went down to the skirts of his garment. Went down to the skirts of his garment. Guess what? For that to happen, that's an outpouring. That's not a little dab. Praise God. Say, Lord, I don't need a dab. I need an outpouring of your anointing on my life. I want to be totally soaked with the anointing. Hallelujah. I want to be dripping anointing wherever I go. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Drip, drip all over the place. You everywhere. Because you are an oil man. You oiled up. Glory be to God. But how does this oil of anointing get made? The Bible actually gives us the ingredients of the oil that was used to anoint Aaron. The spices that were needed to anoint him. Everything was measured out in proper order. And that's how he was anointed. When David was anointed, he was anointed with the same oil, because God separates you and I by the anointing. Praise God. The anointing is what he uses to separate us. In Psalm 89 and verse 20, he says, I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Hallelujah. He says, I have found David. So the anointed is one that God finds. Goes and finds you, locates you. When people have rejected you, he finds you. Praise the Lord. David's father did not account him as anything. In fact, when he came home and said, Dad, a lion tried to take one of the sheep, one of the lambs, and I killed it. Yeah, right. And the next time, a bear came by, and I killed it too. That's a very good son, this lion boy. And so when Samuel came to anoint the next king, he was not even considered. He was not called. They called the other seven. Call this one, call that one, call. And all seven came. But David was not even thought of. He was not good enough. He's a liar. Telling us all these funny stories. You little kid, you killed a lion and you killed a bear. Right.
You don't have to make up stories. I love you. I love you anyway. You don't have to come here and tell me stories about, you know, all these amazing things that you did. Come on, son. It's okay. But Dad, I did. Yeah, son. Yeah, it's okay. All his older brothers were called. And even Samuel could have been deceived. He saw the first one. He says, surely this is the guy. And God says, no. He sees the second one. Oh, yes, it's got to be this one. Oh, of course. And God says, no. All the way to 7. And none of them were picked. But he knew that he was a prophet of God. He knew he heard God. So he says to Jesse, is this all? He said, no, there's one of them, a little kid out over there, taking care of the little flock that I got. So go get that one. And here comes David. Oh, this is the one. God finds. That means God will keep on looking until he locates. And the word of the Lord to us this New Year's Eve service was this, that God was locating us, the blessing was locating us, whatever it is that you need is looking for you. You don't need to go look for it, it is looking for you. The anointing is setting you and I apart for a very strategic purpose. And we shall be weapons in the hands of the Most High God, vessels of honor. Hallelujah. I say vessels of honor. In a great house, there are many different kinds of vessels. And the Word of God says, if you want to be a vessel of honor, not just a casual vessel, then there are certain things you got to do to be the kind of vessel that I can use, a vessel of gold. And God is speaking to every one of us today and saying, I want to use your life. Would you let me use it? Now, there's so much more to share about the anointing, but let us conclude with the Word of God in James chapter 5 and verse 14. It talks about if there is anyone sick amongst you, let him call for the elders of the church and let those elders pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord as representatives of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's an interesting statement. Anoint him with oil. He says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So in essence, the Word of God is saying, when you anoint, there must be faith connection. Don't just put oil on people without exercising faith. He says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Shall save the sick. I like that statement because it's an interesting statement. He says, shall save the sick. Not just heal the sick, but save the sick. So in essence, the sickness that the enemy brings is for one primary purpose, to destroy you, to kill you. He says, but the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. He's saved, he's raised up. And if he have committed sins,
they shall be forgiven him. On the basis of what? The anointing of oil exercised through the prayer of faith. So God says, because faith was exercised, when you represented me by the oil of anointing. Verse 14 again, watch this. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's an act of humility and submission. And let them pray over him. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, when it makes that statement, in the name of the Lord, it is not just, in the name of the Lord, we anoint you, as if that's a magic statement. When the statement, in the name of the Lord, is used, it is an act of, as a representative of Jesus, as one who is authorized, I speak by his authority over your life. Do you understand? So, you know, many times we don't understand what the statement in the name of the Lord is. That God is saying, you are representing me, and based on the fact that I have authorized you, you are making this statement, and therefore every knee bows to that authority. You get it? The name of Jesus is not abracadabra. Magic. No, it's authority. I come in the name of the Lord. That means you come in because you've been called and authorized by God. I'm speaking on behalf of God. This is what is going to happen. That's what the anointing is about. And when we recognize that, we recognize that it is not based on whatever I bring in my strength. It is based on who it is that I am representing. Capish? I'm representing the Lord. And as a representative of the Lord, as an ambassador of the Lord, I am saying such and such, which means then that heaven and the kingdom of God backs my statement. So now I don't have to worry when I say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, in the name of Jesus, be restored. I have nothing else to do. I've done my part. Now, the backing force now has to enforce what I said. And it is based on faith. That's a prayer of faith that I am backed up. I'm backed up. I have somebody standing to make sure that what I said comes to pass, because I represent the authority. Now we grow in that grace to the point where what I say becomes what God says. Even without me even hearing something, I feel that this is the right thing to do, and I say this right thing to do is what needs to be done in this particular situation. So I have come to a place in my relationship with God where my word becomes his word. So the word of God brings us to the place where he says, come, let us reason together. Amen? That is a place of elevation in God, where your word matters as a representative. Tonight I pray that God will bring us to that place where we become higher level representatives of who He is. I don't know why the Lord is showing me this picture right now, but I remember the first time that I went to the nation. I won't mention the name of the nation because I'll be back in there one of these days. Anyway, I'm in this Islamic nation, that's how I would say, having this crusade. And they were doing all the preambles and praise and worship and whatever else. And I think I've shown the video here from when I went there. And I'm sitting, and then it was time for me to go preach. So I step up, took the mic, and all of a sudden, there is this strong wind. So I looking around, I thought there was some big fan that was on the stage that was just turned on. And there's no fan. I keep on talking. And I look down, they have like some divider or whatever it is, some demarcation, and it had flags on it going all the way down. And I look, all of the flags are flapping like that. And I'm wearing this outfit that, you know, goes down there, and it's like a three-piece suit from their particular culture. My clothes are flapping in the wind like this. I'm saying, what is going on? And I start talking to the people, and I start talking to them about what was happening. And it was the presence of God. The presence of God saying, I'm here. You got backing. I'm here. And oh, the miracles that happened in that crusade. The miracles. I was in a very diabolical, occultic center. I did not know it. Nobody told me. But when that was happening, until I finished preaching, it kept on. As soon as I finished preaching, the wind dropped down. I said, wow, this is amazing. I don't know why the Lord was reminding me about that just then. But it is to say, simply say, the presence of God. It's manifested in the anointing of God. It says, I'm with you. We are in this together. And tonight, I'm asking God to do something for every one of us that took time to be here. Whether it's the healing of physical bodies, healing of minds, turning things around, sins committed, forgiven, whatever it is that needs to happen, whatever transformation needs to happen, I'm asking that God will engage with us today and say, I'm with you. I want you to remember that. I want you to be bold. I want you to be strong. I want you to know that you are chosen. Man may have not counted you as something, but I have counted you because I came to locate you. Like David, I found David and I anointed him. So also I've located you and I'm anointing you. But when your anointing comes, you must remain humble in understanding that it's not you. It is all Him working in you and through you. And that all you and I are representatives. And as a representative, I want to do justice. Do the right thing by the one who has called me and chosen me to be His own. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to pray for those that are online first. I'm going to
ask you to stretch your hands towards me. I'm going to anoint my hands. And put one hand on your head and the other one stretch out to me. And that will be a sign of contact in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak a release of the anointing of God on your life. That the anointing to do service, whatever that service is, will be activated in you under the abiding presence of the living God will rest upon you. And if you are sick, healings will take place right this very moment. It doesn't matter how long you've held on to that sickness, today it will leave you and you will walk in divine health. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree, O wholeness, O God, to rest upon everyone who, by faith right now, are stretching their hands and have laid a hand upon themselves. Lord, O God, let your healing anointing flow freely and richly upon them. May they receive an activation of faith and experience your God in a fresh, powerful way. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, let the anointing, O God, that they need to accomplish all that must be accomplished in 2026 now be released unto them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I proclaim liberty and deliverance, O God, for your sons and your daughters. I call for this day that the blindness of limitation will cease from their minds, will cease, O God, to exist even physically. Lord, wholeness established, I bring them out of that place of imprisonment. I declare, O God, that the yoke of limitation be destroyed by the anointing. And Lord, O God, that the wholeness of your abiding presence, O God, will take root and place, that they being planted will now, even now, begin to flourish, even in your courts. Thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. As your representative, Lord, I declare freedom, wholeness, healings, miracles, signs, wonders accomplished even now. By faith, it is so now done. We say it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
This is a time, I guess, when we bring our tithes and our offerings. And I like the verse in 2 Corinthians 9:17 when we bring it hilariously. That's the Amplified. That's paraphrasing it. And but today I want to look at in Luke 6:38. It says, give. By the way, also Missions Sunday was sort of last Sunday. But I've been asked again to ask about Mission Sundays. And now, when you give to missions, remember this, when you're giving to missions, you're giving to souls for the kingdom. Now, we bring our tithes and our offerings here to the storehouse so that there'll be meat in God's house, so that all the needs in this house will be met. But when you give to missions, you're sowing into souls. Souls. And that's what God's all about, souls for the kingdom. And so I pray that each and every one of you do your heartfelt to give to missions and see souls come into the kingdom of God, because that's God's heart, is souls. He wants every man, woman, and child saved in the name of Jesus. So if you're going to do missions, do put it on your offering envelope, that amount. Appreciate. And what I was saying is, in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosoms. For with the same measure that you might without, it shall be measured to you." So what you give shall be measured back to you, he's saying. So give. Like, what did God do? He gave. God's a giver. He gave his only begotten Son so that we could be sitting here praising him and thanking him. And so as a believer in God, you should be a giver automatically. Actually, that should be just part of your worship when you come to church. I was saying to somebody today, that should come automatic to believers. And those that are not there yet, you'll come. We'll keep praying. But that is part of our worship to God, is to come and give. Because when you go to a restaurant, you get food, right? Do you pay for that food? Well, you're coming to the house of the Lord and you're getting fed. You're getting food here. So please bring your tithes and your offerings to God and expect a blessing. That's what he says. When you do this, he does this, you get something in return every time. Every time. I can testify to that. I just don't sit up here and say, or stand up here and say, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down." It's true. In my life, it's true. So I'm asking everyone in their heart to set aside their tithes and their offerings and bring it to the house of God with worship. Just don't throw it in to the boxes here. Don't. Be like the woman with two mites. She gave from her heart. Two mites, and God blessed her. The same with us. That works for everyone. So God bless every one of you that give. May the blessing of the Lord overtake you like the word in Luke 6:38 says. In Jesus' name I thank you and bless each and every one of you. Amen.
Thank you, Loretta. That's a great word. Our pastor today spoke, it's an old, I was here, the anointing is very powerful on that. The anointing of God is something that you carry, and you need to carry it in a very honorable way. When we honor God in every way, the anointing follows you everywhere that you go. Everywhere. Every step you take, that is holy ground. Everyone you speak to, they receive from above. And when they need a healing and you pray, they get healed. It's not just a maybe, but when the anointing is there, it comes with healing as well. So today we trust that you received your anointing when he prayed. You lifted up your hands, you laid hands on yourself, you received it. And now you can walk with it for yourself and for others. We are witnesses to others, to the world. And they don't know sometimes what's happening when they see you. They don't. But they see something different. They know you're different. And that's because of Jesus is in you. The anointing is Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We're going to do communion today, and Pat's going to do the bread, and she's going to pray about that. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus. As I was sitting here, I just drifted. It almost seemed like I was in the Lord's Supper when he had his disciples sitting all around him. And before they took bread and broke it, it's like I could see Jesus looking at the 12 of them and just, as he was one with the Father, the love of God was just like shed abroad right into the heart, to the hearts of the disciples. The great love he had for them. He taught them and encouraged them in their walk so that they could continue after he left, after he went to the cross and was resurrected. And it says that he took the bread and he gave thanks. God the Father and Jesus were one. He always remembered his Father. He took the bread and now he handed it out to his disciples with that pure love in his heart that they would continue with the gospel when he was at Calvary and resurrected. The teachings that he had for them, it was just something else. I don't know, I just sort of drifted away in that, so I'm just bringing that up. But God has such a heart for each and every one of us, the love that he has for us. So when we take the bread, we remember that he gave his body. It was, he gave it, given to us, as was the disciples, for a place of remembrance of what he has done. Jesus, the bread of life, the life-giving spirit that came after he was resurrected. He was full of love, and that spirit in him, when we ignited with Christ, that love was poured into us in such a dimension. We don't realize that we can love even more than what we have now, what we have now. Father God, we just thank you that for the life of Christ. We can't take this lightly. He died on the cross that we would have life abundantly. And we remember you, Lord Jesus. And we remember God the Father who sent him to come to this earth. And we thank you, Lord, that we can partake in this. It's an honor and a privilege to remember Christ and what he has done for our lives. Let's take and eat of his body. In Jesus' name.
We thank you, Father, that you are so good. We thank you that you shed your blood. We thank you that your blood was shed for us. We thank you that we can walk in your anointing because of your blood. Your blood is a type of sealing. It's a seal upon us that we can carry and know that you are there all the time. Life is in the blood. Your life is in us because of what you did. We accepted you as our Savior, Father God, and you're doing a work in us that we do not know you're doing, because by your anointing, you break every yoke. And we pray today, Father God, that the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross will continue to do a work within each and every one of us, to change us and to continue to be in your will, perfect will, not just a good and acceptable, but in your perfect will. Take, drink This is my blood. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I thank everybody for joining us today. And just remember that you're a carrier of the anointing. Whatever Jesus has done on the cross will continue with you. And it's so important for us to walk with it. Everything that we do is in the name of Jesus. Everything that we do is for the Lord. Whether you go to work, whether you go to shopping or anything, do it as unto the Lord. You wake up in the morning, good morning, Jesus. I'm doing it as unto you. And God continues all day long, all week long, till we meet again.